So anyway, today is the week two of our challenge, our holiday challenge. And then I do have some interviews set up. One is a lady who's an expert on social media, how to get media, you know, what they call. We had a call a few weeks ago. We had three calls on earned media, how to get earned media. So that's coming up in this NFNLP Live. Hey, Mark. So that's coming up. This lady's good on social media and how to leverage things, stuff like that. So I just want to put that out there. Also on Friday at 12 noon is a special NLP regression, or why all the why the regressionists are wrong, or what they, I don't want to say wrong, they're stuck in the past. So that's on Friday. That's going to be a lot of fun. I've already gotten a lot of interesting blowback from it, with someone saying, why would I want to update something that worked? Well, you know what? Heart surgery worked in the 60s, but I don't think any of you would want to go to a heart surgeon who had not updated his technology since the 1960s. Not that it didn't work then, it just might not work. You know, there's better, faster ways. I always say it's the difference between a laser and a light bulb. A light bulb works, but a laser is very exact. That's what we'll be doing. And you can do a regression and a whole lot of really cool stuff without ever having the person go into some kind of ab reaction and a painful situation. So that's going to be Friday at noon. And I got some other announcements I'll be talking about as we go on, including our big neurolinguistic hypnosis sale. The class is done. It's ready. It's uploaded. It's ready to be out there. We're going to start certifying people in neurolinguistic hypnosis. So, and again, it has to do with, unfortunately, a lot of the places have not updated their information. I haven't found one that updates it with the neurology and the psychology and some of the stuff that we know. So anyway, there's that. So today, last week we talked about, you know, well, there's three things you need to do. This is the challenge. You have to have the knowledge of your power. That's what we talked about last week, that it's on Facebook. It's also was in the thing, knowledge of your power. Do you believe in the law of attraction, law of creation, law of love, law of magnetism? You can call it whatever you want. And if so, has it worked for you and to the degree that you want? If not, then it's also part of the knowledge, you know, your knowledge, because it's also based on the limits of your knowledge or your beliefs. Your beliefs will moderate the level of success that you can believe. Do you believe you could get into this shape? Do you believe you could have this kind of relationship? Do you believe you can have a six-figure business? Do you believe you could have a seven-figure business? Do you believe whatever it is you believe, you know, your beliefs, good or bad, will moderate your level of law of attraction, law of magnetism, whatever you want to call it, right? And so it's kind of interesting. So do you have the knowledge of your power? And are you studying it? Are you expanding it? And what are the limits of it based on your beliefs? Because sometimes you got to blow out your beliefs. That is one of the things we'll be doing Friday in the regression thing. We'll do a technique about blowing out limiting beliefs, especially if it's a recurring pattern, right? If it's a recurring pattern to you. Like you get to a certain level of success, then you sabotage it. I was just working with a guy. This is where it came from. You know, he would get to a certain level of success, then he'd blow it up. He'd get to a certain level, blow it up. Like whether it's a good example would be he had two books done. All they need to do be edited, cleaned up, and published. Not quite, you know, and he would sabotage it. I've worked with people that sabotage relationships, sabotage their recovery. You know, sabotage their physical fitness, whatever it is. So there's a way to blow out all that in one process. And we'll be doing that Friday. So it's going to be a lot of fun. But today, after thinking about the limits of your power, and what is the knowledge of your power? Do you believe in it? Do you expand on it? Do you believe that it's what is possible? And then today we're going to talk about the courage to dare. So the three things you need is knowledge of your power, courage to dare, faith to do. Next week will be faith to do. So courage to dare, why that is so important. You know, first of all, you have to dare. And a lot of this is, again, based on your knowledge. Do you dare to go for what you want? Have you been limited in your belief set? You know, have you been taught some kind of limiting belief that somehow the universe or God, whatever you want to call it, gives you brownie points for suffering? You know, gives you, you know, that somehow being broke is more spiritual than being wealthy or successful, or that you can only, you know, dare to be happy, you know, in other areas. You know, do you dare to look like a bodybuilder in your mid-60s, but look like you're in your 40s? Do you dare to do that? And it's easy to do. Everybody say, yeah, yeah. Well, when you step back and think about it, and I've had a lot of talk with some people on the calls about this, is the minute you start thinking out of the box that way, you're going to be slapped down by the people closest to you. You know, because the people that sometimes that are closest to us, friends, old friends and family, will hold you back, because misery loves company. You know, your number one sabotage people is friends and family. I always point to, and again, a lot of what I talk about always goes back to addictions. How many times I've seen people, like, you know, the spouse or a parent will berate an addict or an alcoholic to go into treatment, and then they go into treatment and they start doing well. Maybe they're in a 12-step program, maybe they're in therapy, whatever, they're doing well. And then, you know, 90 days later, they start like, you know, you were more fun when you were drinking. I liked you better when you were high. And there's a lot of, you know, there could be some things. A, you're more controllable when you're like that. But even the main thing is, it's threatening to the people that don't change, right? It's threatening to those people that do not change. Because if they see you change, and you begin to get in great shape, you look 20 years younger than your physical, than your chronological years, which that's very doable. We see it all the time. So you look and act 20 years younger. You're in great physical shape, or you get a great relationship. You get a great sex life. You get a great business. Whatever the hell it is, you get it. The people that would like to take the risk to get there do not have the courage to dare, right? And some of this, by the way, is in your neurology. Right? Because we are social animals. So whatever our core group is, whether it's friends and family, let's say family, we don't want to get thrown out of the family, right? We don't want to be ostracized. And that's based on survivability. It's in your neurology, because for most millennia, if you got thrown out of your family, your tribe, your group, you were dead. You know, this whole bullshit about lone wolf is mainly bullshit. You died. You know, when a lion gets thrown out of the lion's den, the pack, they probably get killed by hyenas and eaten, right? You know, that's why, yeah, sometimes people will break away, but then they want to form their own group right away, because we are social creatures. And this is based in your DNA and in your neurology, because your neurology developed with your DNA. If you didn't have this trait, your gene pool died off. Lone wolves die off, right? Hey, Jeff, how are you? Maybe I'll see you tonight. I got to give a talk at a meeting tonight, a men's meeting. I'm still very active in the 12-step world. But anyway, so it's in your neurology, right? The lone wolves die out. You know, we're social creatures. So we want that. We crave that. And when you're pushed away, it's very fearful. It's why cults are so hard to get out of, right? Or groups like that. Or, you know, you might keep a job you hate because, well, all my friends are there. How many of us have stayed in relationships you should get out of because you start thinking, well, as bad as this one is, the next one may be worse. Well, you know, it's, and we beat people up for thinking that way, but it is your neurology in action, right? And it's hard to go against your neurology, right? So that's why people will sabotage you. Come back, you know, it's like you start making good money, boom, right? You've heard me talk a lot about some of the motivational speakers use that analogy of, you know, if I know the five people you hang out with a lot and I know their income, you're in that group. We can average it. You're within that group. Especially, some guy did a study, if he looks at that group and he throws out the one-offs, maybe you got a friend in there that, or if it's your family, whatever, makes a lot of money, you throw the top out, you throw the bottom out, like you would when you're doing a statistical analysis, and go for the middle, you're going to be in that group. They've known that for a long, long time, right? And by the way, if you like this on Facebook, click like and share. If you're watching this here, it's going through my group. It's probably going through YouTube. Click like and share, and please leave a comment, right? That is how this stuff goes viral, right? There's a little lesson for you if you're into marketing, Mark or Monica, Carolyn, things like that. Make sure you tell your people, and I got to get back in, click like. That's why you do the thumbs up, right? And share it. You just share it somewhere, right? Because that's what makes it go viral. Thank you very much. So anyway, going back to our neurology. So sorry about the bird in the background. It's not happy. So we have your neurology. And so how can you change it? So if I, you know, so we always say, I one of my favorite sayings I came up with is, you may not rise to the level of your dreams, you will always fall to the level of your peers. This goes into our, what we've been talking about, the knowledge of your power, the courage to dare, the faith to do. So when you think about it, when you really think about it, you have to change. Sometimes you have to change that group, right? Now, you know, there's a story, and I've heard Tony Robbins tell it. I've heard other people tell it, but there was a general in the Marine Corps, and he was talking about why is it he sees these young Marines, right? That, you know, the average person goes into the Marine Corps, if they're enlisted, they go in between the ages of 18 and 22. If they're officers, it's about 22 to 26. And they serve, most people still serve one cycle, one tour, one enlistment, one, you know, they stay in for a while. Then they get out. But he goes, when I look at these young Marines, they're in shape. They look good. They're in shape. They because physical training is a part of their thing. Their uniforms are squared away. They're high achievers. They're STRAC Marines. And he goes, then I see them, like, you know, they get out of the Corps, and 3 or 4 years later, if you see them, you know, they've gained 50 pounds. They're kind of slovenly. Their dress has kind of gotten that, you know. And he asked the question, is it because people are inherently lazy? Well, there's probably some truth to that, but I would argue, and I've heard Tony Robbins say it, and the other person I heard talk about this study, what it really is when you're in the Corps, and this will also tie into habits and courage to dare. When you're in the Corps for that 4 to 6 years, your group is there. That is your core group. You still have your family at home and maybe have friends outside of it, but that's your core group. And you will rise to the level of the expectations of your group. And, you know, I read a study done within the military that, you know, someone that comes from a high-performance unit, like a SEAL unit, a Ranger unit, a para-jumper, Marine Recon, may have trouble if they go back into the regular branch of the service, because they're used to, at the high-performance levels, people taking it serious. Like, you know, they're squared away. They train hard. They work hard. You know, it's like, you know, and then they get back into, with some people, it's just the job. So they have a hard time doing that. So anyway, these Marines get out, and, you know, then they go back to the general population where people don't exercise. You know, as you know, this group may be a little bit of an off kilter, but, you know, they, as much as health clubs and all that shit's growing all over, it's still like, only 30% of the American population work out regularly. I think I just read that, you know. Now, people may say that they work out, but do they? It's kind of like everybody says, you know, like the Bible Belt, because all these people go to church. You know, the real research, I forget who did it. They did the research that actually only about 20% of the people, even in the Bible Belt, really go to church. Now, if you ask them, yes, I'm a good church-going Baptist or Christian or Catholic or whatever, but do they go? Right. Same with, that's where, you know, I know Monica would know this, and I don't know about anybody else, but, you know, because I was part owner and worked in health clubs, and Monica being around it, is a lot of the health clubs are supported by the people that join that never show up. You know, the one that was by my house that just closed, it had like 8,000 members on the books, but only about 800 went regularly. So about 10%. Now, even that 8,000, something like 70% of them would renew, right? But they didn't do it. And again, it's the think, which we're going to close it with, the difference between thinking and doing. But anyway, so these young Marines, you know, they're held to that standard. Well, now they're back in, you know, they're back there where people, let's go have a couple beers after work, skip the gym, you know, and then you have a couple beers, you can't get up in the morning to work out because, A, you don't have to. You don't have to run. It part of your duty is running, right? So even though, let's talk about habits, there's people say if you do something, you know, for 21 days, it'll become a habit. And then the real research says, you know, it could be as quick as 1 or 2 days, could be as much as like a 200 and something days. But if you did it consistently over, you know, several months, it'll become a habit. I would dare say that is not true, because we see these people in like the military, especially high performance ones, they're working out almost every day when they're on duty. So for that 4 or 6 years they're on duty, they're physically training. So that's however many times, you know, thousands of times that it's part of their thing. The minute they get out, boom, they quit working out. Now it should be a habit, but it's not, right? But it's just what it is, right? Because again, it's their core group. Now, if they get out and they go and they start hanging out with people that are in shape, they're going to be in shape. Things like that. So that's the courage to dare. So when you start changing, if you're fat and miserable, right? That's how I talk to people when I do weight loss. And suddenly you start changing your diet, working out, and getting in shape, all those people you were fat and miserable with aren't going to like you, right? Here, I made this for you. It's your favorite dessert. Well, I told you I'm changing my diet. Yeah, but it's this, you know. And again, it could be because misery loves company. They would like to change. They do not have the guts, the fortitude, the knowledge on how to change. So it's easier to bring you down than it is to build them up. So again, the courage to dare is to break away from the norm, right? And so to do that, that is and to go after what you really want, because the other part of this, you know, there's a Shakespeare quote that nothing is good or bad, but thinking makes it so. I argue that all your desires are God-given. You know, they're not good or bad in and of themselves. They are God-given, because the universe, if you want to call it God, will experience that experience through you. Right? I believe in the collective consciousness. You know, maybe that's part of God. Maybe it's just collective consciousness, but it's going to experience life through you. And so what's interesting is it wants to experience this, whether it's a great relationships, to be in physical shape in your 40s, 50s, or 60s, whether it's to have, you know, a lot of money, to drive the luxury car, to live in the beach house, to do the universe wants to experience it, right? And there's no shortage of it, because if all of us got the same thing, we would experience it many different ways, right? I always use the analogy of we all bought a high-performance sports car, BMM3, that little, anyway, it looks cool. I don't know if it is cool, you know, but if we all got it, we'd experience it differently. Some people would like the tech. Someone would like the drive. Someone like, oh, look, people like, look at my car. Whatever it is, we're all going to experience it differently. So the universe will have all these varied of experiences through the same thing, right? So we all have a gourmet meal, we're going to experience it differently. So they're neither good nor bad, right? Now we'll limit it. This goes back to the knowledge, you know, our knowledge base and our beliefs about it. So if we believe it's bad, then you're going to do that. So if you have a path, if you have a desire, whatever it happens to be, that's God-given. It wants you to have this. Do you believe you can accept it? This goes back to knowledge. Do you have the courage to go after it? You have the courage to even say, I want this, right? And then what happens, there's a quote in the Bible about, you know, adding to the word of God or taking away from. And adding to the word is when you say how this must happen. You know, I want this sports car, right? And so there I have to work harder, save my money, get it. Okay, that's kind of logical. Our minds will kick in and say, this is how it has to happen. But then it shuts off all the other way the universe may say, no, I want you to have this car now to do this. So you're not going to do whatever it is, you know, buy the lotto ticket, excuse me, enter that raffle where you win the car, whatever it is, right? So you limit it, or you say it has to happen this way. Okay. Well, that takes away. And then the other thing that's adding to the word of God, taking away from it, is settling for less, saying, I really want this, but I'll settle for this, right? So I want a six-figure practice. Well, therefore, I have to run these ads. I got to go to these seminars. I got to do this. That may be true, and you could build your six-figure practice following those steps. Maybe that's why it works. It fits into your belief set. Well, what if, and I know this happened to somebody, they open their little practice. They happened, like in the first 3 weeks, they get on the radio. The radio station interviews them, which gets them on the little television station. I think it was Dothan, Alabama, something like that. And then they made the other television stations. So literally, they went from like zero clients or one or two clients to a packed schedule. No advertising, no practice building, just it could happen, right? So, you know, if you say it has to happen this way, it's that way, right? And settling for less is the other thing. Well, I really want this like a Corvette, but I'll take a Mazda Miata. I really want this, but I'll take that. That's settling for less. That is just, if not more dangerous, because then you're telling your subconscious mind to begin to ignore all your belief, all your desires. You know, he or she says they want to be in great physical shape, but they don't really want to because, you know, they limit it. You know, they say, well, I don't want to be in whatever, right? And so your mind will begin to just disregard it, right? Because again, all these, you know, words and pictures are the language of your conscious mind. Feelings are the language of your subconscious mind, and they must become aligned for you to get what you want, right? And so if you don't feel you can do it, then it's not going to happen, right? And if you begin to get if you train your subconscious mind, which is in your body, to believe that you don't deserve it or that you're not serious about it, it's going to kick it out. So do you have the courage to dare, right? Do you have the courage to dare? And again, knowing that when you do this, you may lose old friends, right? You may lose that old peer group, right? Because they're gonna go away. And they're going to kick you out, to use my addiction analogy. Even if you don't purposely leave, they may not want you around, right? Because you don't fit in their group anymore. You know, if all your friends are fat and miserable and you start training hard and eating good, they're not going to want you around, right? They're going to kind of oust you anyway. So you need to change. Now, there's a lot of ways to do it. And a lot of people think, well, if I change, here's one of the big myths you have to shatter in your mind. I have to. Everybody has to. If I change, all my friends will want to change. Now, all the hypnotists know that's bullshit, because smokers always say, well, if I quit smoking, all my friends are going to quit. No, they're not. They're going to blow smoke in your face, call you a wussy. So what you need to do is realize that as, you know, you're not going to change all those other people around you, right? It's easier to step away from them. And now we have a magic tool. We have a magic tool. And the magic tool is our minds don't know the difference between a real or a vividly imagined event, right? We know that. It's back to life, right? I mean, if you have a nightmare, your body reacts as if it's happening, right? We could do the old take a deep breath. If you close your eyes really quick and imagine a lemon, right? And you imagine cutting that lemon in half, so you're holding half a lemon, and then you cut it in half again, so you got a quarter of a lemon, like you get a lemon slice. If you imagine smelling that lemon, vividly imagine it, see the yellow in your mind's eye, feel your mouth begin to nim, 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 and it smells lemony, fresh, it's good. And if you squeeze it, you can see the little lines shoot off, you know how it shoots off in those little lines, right? Then if you take a nice, big, juicy, mouth-watering bite, right? And it's bitter and it's sour and your mouth floods, okay? Open your eyes. You know, that was a very quick, not elegant version of the lemon test. But if you had any of the saliva, then your mind doesn't know the difference. There was no lemon, but you have vividly imagined it. Your body responded as if it was real. So since your mind doesn't know the difference between a real or a vividly imagined event, what if, I dare say, what if, you know, you get a different peer group in your mind, right? So whatever it is you want to accomplish, you get a peer group that has what it is, right? The great thing about the internet, right? unless you need treatment for internet addiction. Great thing about the internet, you can find models or people that have what you want. They're in great shape, and they're just worked with another person that wanted to be in great shape in their later life. Well, they're in their late 50s. So I had them Google and look up all these people that get in great shape. Excuse my ear itch. They got in great shape later in life, right? And so they're looking. So then you know it's possible, right? This is very important to your mind, because when you, whenever a barrier is shattered, and people know that that barrier is gone, other people will accomplish it. You know, we all know about the 4-minute mile. Many doctors in the 40s said it was physically impossible. Your heart would explode. Your lungs would collapse. Your blood pressure would blow up your brain. And then the guy ran the 4-minute mile, you know, 3 minutes, 59 seconds. And within a short period of time, many people were running the 4-minute mile. Now, middle school kids run a 4-minute mile. It's common. It can be done. Nobody thinks about it. Recently, someone just broke the 2-hour marathon, right? And people said it was physically impossible because, you know, basically you're sprinting for 2 miles, right? Or 26 point whatever it is miles, right? But it's been done. Maybe it's been done again since this guy did it. So once you have a model, then you tell your brain it's possible. Here's a guy that started a business in his 40s and was a multimillionaire by 45. Here's a person that never worked out, started working out, now they're in great shape. Here's a person that, you know, retired as whatever it was, started a little hypnosis practice. 3 years later, they got a nice, comfortable little practice, having a good time. So once, you know, if you find some of those models, your mind doesn't know the difference, right? And they can become your peer group in your mind. So maybe your peer group is that person and other people like it. Because again, you're going to rise to the level of your peers, right? You're not going to just get what you want. So get a different peer group in your mind. This may also include distancing yourself from old friends and even sometimes family, right? Now, it doesn't mean you won't have to be around, but you don't have to be as connected, right? And you can remove yourself somewhat so you can begin to get the things that you really want, need, and desire, right? So get that peer group in your mind, right? Whoever it is. You know, you want to be a good public speaker. So, you know, your peer group of speakers isn't the people you see slaughtering a speech at the Chamber of Commerce. It's Tony Robbins. It's Brandon Bouchard. It's that Frank Kern. It's those guys, right? Those guys and girls that are great public speakers, right? And that becomes your peer group, right? And by the way, for a lot of people, if you start finding these people and you reach out to them, you might be pleasantly surprised. You know, maybe not the super top people will get in touch with you, but some of the other ones you can easily model. Well, yeah, this is, yeah, you know, they'll be friendly with you. So it'll give you that thing. Now, here's the magic I promised a friend of mine I said I would do in this call, which is, so, okay, now you've got it. You've got the knowledge of your power. You know that your mind can create all kinds of things, that all reality is based on your mind. And that it seems like your mind actually creates your reality, right? Your personality creates your reality, and your reality reinforces and recreates your personality. So we're changing that. That's what we're going to talk about on the fourth week of this, about changing the sense of I. But anyway, so we have the knowledge of your power. So you're beginning to develop that. Now you have your thoughts, beliefs. Now you have the courage to dare. So you're going to dare to make those changes, right? You're going to dare to step into the kind of person that you want. And you're going to get a different peer group. You know, you're going to be like our Marines. You're going to be in a high performance unit who's going to hold you to that standard. They'll be telling you, no, you can do this, right? You know, I was in a play, and I think it was one of the preview nights, last preview night. And a couple of people go, oh, I'm nervous. I go, why are you nervous? And they're like, well, you know, there's all these other actors that were, because they're cheap, right? So they're coming to the free preview. And, you know, I'm like, well, what's that? Why? Well, because they're actors, you know, and they're going to be judging the performance. Well, first of all, everybody's judging your performance, right? And they go, doesn't that make you nervous? I said, no, I actually feel better when I know there's actors and directors and, you know, people like that in the audience, right? Because I know I'm going to step up my game. And I realized kind of what we just were talking about. And they said, really? I said, yeah, you know, I always kind of imagined that in tonight's audience is Meryl Streep, Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Tony, Robert Redford, can't think of her name. Julianne Moore. These people I think are great actors and actresses. That's who's in the audience. And they're going to give me feedback after this show. All right. I want to impress them. Now, the thing that happens is I'm setting a different standard for myself. I don't care about the rest of the show. You know, it may be a community theater show. And, but I can hold myself to the standard that I'm going to do the same performance as if I'm on Broadway. I'm going to do the same performance if it's a no budget short film, hopefully, as it's a big budget motion picture, right? You're going to do that because that's my standard, right? And that can become the people in your mind. Now, so we know that. Now, here is a magic trick. If you close your eyes and you imagine some of the people in your core group celebrating whatever it is you want to accomplish, right? So, and you close your eyes and you imagine there's Tony Robbins going, yes, that was a kick-ass speech. You were on. You own that audience. You hear them saying that, right? It's making the word flesh. You know, you're getting that feedback from this, if you want to say imaginary peer group, but they're giving you the feedback you want to hear and celebrating you getting what you want, right? And again, pick people that would celebrate you being that good. Right. Again, a lot of your old peer group may not, who cares? You want that. And that's a magic thing in your mind because, you know, you hear their voice, you know, and even some of your friends, if you have current friends that would really celebrate you getting that new car, starting that new multi-million-dollar business, losing that weight, the few that you have, imagine them celebrating you, hugging you, patting you on the back, right? They're delivering the message to you again, right? Through their thing, right? And then you step into it. That also begins to change the feeling of I that we'll talk about later. So there, again, if you like this, click like and share. Please click like and share. Leave some kind of comment, you know. Do that because that's how we make the stuff go viral on Facebook and on YouTube. We're going to wrap up the YouTube thing. The Facebook thing. I'm going to stay with my group for a few more minutes to talk a little bit more. But again, so we have the knowledge of your power, and that's moderated by the limits of your beliefs about whatever it is you can accomplish. Are your desires, do you believe they're God-given, right? Do you believe that there's nothing good nor bad, but how you think makes it so? Great. Can you go after it? Then do you have the courage to dare to go after it, to dare to admit to yourself, I want this, right? You're whatever it is. Do you have the courage to do that, right? Courage to dare to be different, to be unique. You know, I did a post this morning. I said, you know, you're not superior. You're not inferior. You're unique. Own it. Celebrate it, right? But you have, you know, the universe will experience it through you. And then with that courage to dare, do you have the courage to maybe break away from some of the people that are holding you back? Because misery loves company. Right? So you may have to break away. If you can't physically right now, you can mentally, you know, you could cut those mental cords of connection and connect with your new peer group, the people that would celebrate you getting this, right? The high performance level. This is my group. This is what I want. Right? And then hear them saying, great job, all that stuff. So I'm going to wrap up the Facebook Live. Stay here for a moment. There we go. Facebook Live is over. All right. So that, don't forget Friday. I should have mentioned up there. Friday is the webinar on NLP-based regression. Tomorrow I'm going to do a thing on my new course, Neuro-Linguistic Hypnosis, which is done, uploaded, ready to go, manual tweaked. It's ready to go. I'm very excited about it. Also did a little version of, and Carolyn saw part of it, but I expanded it to a full day thing on epigenetics, hypnoepigenetics. That's going to be kind of cool. And then I did a one day conversational hypnosis thing. So you know, that's coming up. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to, so again, Friday, be on the call, because that I'm only doing on a webinar. I'm not doing a Facebook Live. I'm going to announce it again, where the webinar. And it's not this number, it's a different number. I will post it in the e-zine that will go out later today. So make sure everybody gets on, you'll be on that webinar. I'll have the script. I just wrote the script for the NLP-based regression. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So let me stop the recording.